Aye, but that damned vampire friend of Dahlia's got me on the neck and put his curse into me.
A vampire, Brunner muttered, trying to piece it all together, trying to make some sense of this craziness. Pwent was a vampire haunting the halls of Gontalgrim, and with a drow troop in support. Pwent, he said with sympathy and concern and clear confusion. What are ye doing?
A pack of damned drow took home in this place,
the battle rager answered. His face turned into a fierce scowl, and he issued a feral snarl, and Brunner feared for a moment that Pwent would fall over him in murderous rage, and Brunner knew in his heart that such fear was not unfounded. Thibbledorf Pwent was on the edge. The struggle showed clearly in his dead eyes.
"I'm holding 'em. I'm fighting 'em," Pwent said. "Aye, but that's all I got left, me king. And that's left to Pwent. And sure him that it's a sweet taste when I get me fangs in their skinny necks, don't ye doubt. Aye, but that's the joy, me king."
As he said it, he advanced a step and flashed his elongated canines, and for a moment, Brunner again expected him to leap for his king's throat. But Pwent pulled back, obviously with great effort.
"I'm your king," Brunner stated. "I'm your friend. E'er been your friend and yourself me own."
The vampire managed a nod.
"If ye was me friend, ye'd kill me," he said. "Ah, but ye cannot, and I'm not about to let ye."
He glanced down at the cairn and kicked at it, and with his great strength sent a pile of large stones bouncing away. Brunner looked upon his own corpse, upon his many-notched axe, surviving the decades intact as if nary a day had passed. He noted his old armor, fit for a king, and a buckler set with a foaming mug of clan battlehammer, a shield that had turned the blows of 1,000 enemies. He stared at the skull, at his skull, grayish-white with flecks of discolored dried skin, and so shocking was the realization that he was looking at his own rotting head that it took Brunner a long while to realize that his one-horned helm was missing. He tried to remember where he had lost it. Had it fallen into the primordial pit when he and Pwent had dragged themselves across the chasm, perhaps? It didn't matter, he tried to tell himself.
"Tried to kill meself,"
Pwent went on, clearly oblivious to Brunner's inner turmoil.
"Thought I could, But when the sunlight came into that cave and burned at me, I runned off. Runned down here into the dark, runned into the madness I did, but meself's not surrendering, me king. I be fightin'."
Brunner eased his trusty old weapon from the skeletal grip.
"But me king,"
Pwent asked suddenly, and from the tone, Brunner understood what was coming next.
How?
Pwent stuttered.
"Ye can't be."
Brunner turned to regard his old friend.
But I be. And that's the derned part of it. I got a tale to tell, me old friend, but it's one that's as dark as your own, I'm fearin'."
As he finished, he looked at the throne of Gontalgrim, the conduit to divine power that had so forcefully rejected him. He had come here all full of hope, and with renewed faith in Moradin, and admiration in the dwarf god's clever ruse to use Mialiki. But now, after the rejection, Brunner didn't know what to think.
"Help me get me armor and me shield," Brunner said.
Thibbledorf Pwent looked at him skeptically.
"It's meself, ye dolt, and I don't think I've seen such a look from ye since Nanfoodle poisoned me so's I could get meself out of Mithril Hall."
Pwent blinked in shock, sorting out the words.
"Me king,"
he said, nodding, and he moved to help Brunner with the corpse. As he donned his old outfit, Brunner told Pwent the tale of Eruladun, of the promise to Mialiki, and the assigned rendezvous atop Kelvin's cairn. It occurred to him that the vampire wasn't interjecting much, as he would have expected from Thibbledorf Puent, who always had an opinion to share. But it wasn't until he looked closely at his old friend that he understood the truth of it. Puent wasn't even really listening. Indeed, the way in which Puent regarded Brunner at that moment warned Brunner that the vampire was struggling even then against the urges of his affliction. Brunner could see that Puent was thirsty for blood, any blood, even Brunner's blood.
"So now you're here killing Drow, eh?"
Brunner said sharply to distract him.
"Aye, but not much killing now that them below are knowing of me," Puent replied. "Got me a few, as ye seen, and a few more killed to death. But most of me time's in the upper halls now, and not near the forge and them damn Drow elves."
"The forge?"
"Aye, they be using it."
Brunner winced at the thought of the Forge of Gontalgrim, among the most hallowed workshops in his Delzoon heritage, in the hands of dark elves.
"Ye should be going,"
Puent said, and he seemed to be struggling with every word.
"I failed ye, me king. Don't ye make me fail ye more."
"But ye still guard this room," Brunner replied, and he moved closer and put a hand on his friend's sturdy shoulder.
"Even as ye are, ye guard this room, me grave and the throne." "It's all I got,"
Puent answered, his voice thin.
"Last thread holding."
His voice trailed away. Brunner patted him and nodded, understanding.
"Me loyal Puent,"
he reassured the dwarf. "To the end, ye hold true." Puent started to shake his head.
"All any dwarf's got," said Brunner.
"Loyalty.
All honors in loyalty to your word and to your friends. Ain't nothing more to give, and ain't nothing more asked of us."
As he heard those last words escape his lips, Brunner glanced over at the throne and considered his rejection.
"Trist,"
he said, more to himself than to Puent.
"Aye. Seen him in me early days of affliction,"
Puent answered unexpectedly, and Brunner turned back to regard him.
"Was him that left me in the cave with the rising sun, but he thought better of me than me was."
He shook his hairy head and looked down at the floor dejectedly. Brunner tried to sort it out, but other thoughts pressed in on him. "He'd have been a good dwarf, eh? That Driz